lineouts, racks.
Balls engage.
What an amazing try.
Tries and tackles, dissected by South Africa's top rugby minds.
That is world class.
This is To the Last Drop, your weekly in-depth rugby podcast with Liam Delcombe and Brendan Nell.
This is To the Last Drop. I'm Liam Delcombe.
And I'm Brendan Nell.
Hi, Brendan. You greet us from somewhere at the coast again. You on your travels. I can see the sea air has sort of opened. I was going to say pause, but you've got sort of a coastal glow about you.
Because when they call it dermatologist, or when use those people, I don't even know what that but the sea air does have a wonderful effect on most people, so not me included.
It gives you that scrub, that you unsolicited scrub on that you, yeah.
I'm down in the Southern Cape this week, just for some family matters here. But it's a lovely part of the world. It's the weather's been amazingly good at this time, because normally this time of the year the weather's not so good. It changes four seasons in a day. So far it's been really lovely, and I hear it's pretty warm up north. So I hope everyone's not sweating too much up there in Gauteng. But it's nice to be down here.
Yeah. I like your Frankie Valley reference there. No, it's baking in Gauteng, but we're coping.
Our special guest today is somebody Lions fans will know very well. South African fans already know very well. Scored an amazing try the other day, one that could be easily a contender for try of the season against Munster. Henko van Wyk. Henko, welcome to the pod. And first time here, I'm sure it's not going to be your last.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here with you. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, let's start off with that try, Henko. I mean, that was, I think we were all surprised at how far you went and how many tackles you bounced off and fell off you. And there's certainly a lovely individual try. Just take us through your thoughts going through that try, because, I mean, yeah, it just seemed like nobody was going to stop you on your way to the line.
Yeah, thank you. I would say it's an individual try. I think our defense did really well to turn over the ball and try to back myself, and luckily it came off. Otherwise, it could have gone our way.
Mm. Anko, tell us, we obviously enjoy watching the Lions at Ellis Park. I mean, you have a particular brand of rugby that you play there, and people absolutely revel in it. You know, the people in the stands as well as people watching television. How is that? I don't want to use the word compromise, but what degree do you have to make a shift when you play these away matches in conditions that that are a little foreign?
Yeah, definitely. I think we pride ourselves in running rugby. We want to put up a show. We want to score tries. That's the type of players we have in our team, players with X factor and want to express themselves. So to find the balance between that and more attack, technical kicking them when playing overseas in the wet conditions. I mean, you can't throw the ball around from your own half in wet conditions like that. So yeah, it's very important and difficult sometimes to find that balance between running and playing more tactical and territory game. But I think our game driver is doing it quite well at that moment. I think we were a bit unlucky with our two pass game that we lost against Munster and Leinster. But yeah, it's definitely a work on for us, and I think focus on more when playing overseas in that wet conditions to adapt a bit better.
I was going to say, Inke, it almost felt to me in a way, I share your disappointment for the Munster game, because it almost felt like they were almost there for the taking, and though you guys had them the first half, and just the second half, a couple of mistakes, a couple of things went against you guys and it cost you. Do you feel like you guys have missed an opportunity there?
Yeah, definitely. I think with the opportunity for the first, as the first South African team to beat them there. I don't think anyone beat them there from South African side. I think our first half we did quite well, kept them out, absorbed the pressure in our own half. Put pressure back on them, keep them in their half. And then second half, I think that the try they scored in the first few minutes, I think that was a bit unlucky on our side. We should work hard on that. I think they won the aerial battle in the second half. And like we said, it's a massive work on for us to find that balance when we play in that weight conditions.
When you talk about Dallas, I think the one thing that, stands out, especially with the, fast start the Lions have had in the URC, is your defense. It ranks as one of the top defenses so far in that competition. What has been the big shift there? I mean, is there something you can put your, finger on that has sort of changed from last year to, this year but has enabled you to make that step forward?
I think because Jock has done a massive job, and, all the coaches, not just defense, but as a group, we are growing. We're getting tighter each tour, each day. As a group, we play for each other. And I think that's where the difference comes in with us. We want to work for each other. When one guy slips a tackle or make a mistake, the, other guy is more than willing to, work harder, twice as hard to fix that mistake. So I think that's where the where the difference comes in, and I think we as a group are together for about 2 to 3 years now, and yeah, we're just going from strength to strength.
Enka, I mean, obviously you've had a couple of injury problems, and you've just come back from a big one. That must be frustration in itself for you. But just looking at that, I mean, you were part of that SAA team as well. And you've seen some of your teammates like Sasha and them get to the Springboks. There seems to be a bit more of a bottleneck, should I say, there at, in the midfield. Some of the older guys hanging around quite long, Lucanio and Jesse and, all those guys. Just you talk a bit about your Springbok ambitions and just the frustration of the injuries maybe stopping you from getting there.
Yeah, I think we have exceptional centers in South Africa, so it's very difficult to get into that squad. I mean, we have the best centers in the world, probably, if you take the squad. And from injury perspective, yeah, I've had a quite a few long term injuries. That's frustrating, but hopefully, yeah, my ambition for to play box is obviously still there. That's my main goal. I want to play for the box one day. That's my dream. But yeah, my first thing is just to finish a season without a serious injury. Stay on the field and enjoy my rugby. And I think to enjoy my rugby, I have to stay on the field. So that's my number one priority. And obviously to be do my best for the Lions. I think we have a good culture, and we want to make. In saying that, I mean, if the Lions as a franchise do good, it's much easier, not easier, but it's more likely that a lot of the guys can get a call up.
Enko, I want to ask you about time on the sidelines, and it's one of those things where obviously it is a deep frustration. But when you have a longish layoff, and maybe it's a second or a third one, just mentally, does it become easier to deal with? I know the frustration remains, but in your own head, you know, the things that you have to do, the rehab or whatever that is, and, there are certain things that you can't do. Just the mental element of that, does it become easier?
I wouldn't say it become easier. In some aspects, maybe. Maybe the understanding of what it takes to come back gets easier. My long-term injury started from since high school, so I have a good understanding of what it takes to come back from long-term injuries and not to get frustrated with the small stuff. This last one, I think I've learned a lot about my body and how to manage my body. How can I say, you know, to manage it and, what it can go through and what must I have to recover. And so, yeah, hopefully the things that I do can keep me on the field now. So, yeah, I would say in certain aspects it gets easier in the progress of recovery, but mentally getting frustrated, not being part of the team environment so it's definitely difficult.
Just from a Lions perspective, when you're on the sidelines for a length of time, what is the thing that you miss most?
Obviously, the rugby, the playing with the boys, the time we get the field, on the field, at trainings, the laugh. Yeah, definitely Like I said, Airtalk Group always have a laugh every day. So it's being about being between your best friends every day. So it's not even work. So yeah, it's really nice. That's what I miss most.
And I was going to say, on the other side of that, I suppose the one thing that people also, people who watch the game maybe don't understand as well. You talk about the frustration of what you learn about when you're on the sidelines. But I suppose there's a second part of the mental aspect to that. And I was just wondering how that affects you in terms of when you get back to the field and you're fit again and knowing that you've just come through a long injury. You've just said to us as well, your whole key is to stay on the field. But that also comes at a cost, because I mean you can't exactly hold back in the rugby game. You have to still give 100% at the whole time. So is that still that thing in the back of your head that when I go into a tackle and say that you fall badly or somebody tackles you, does it go through your head at all that maybe it's injury, maybe that I hope it's not an injury, or does the game just take over?
No, just, I don't have any doubt when I step on the field, or I'm never scared of getting injured. And I think that's I'm very lucky in that sense. So I never hold back or try to prevent the injury or protect myself. I think putting your body through that, you must just do extra off the field with recovery, ice baths, sauna, stuff like that. That's what I meant by keeping myself on the field. But no, there's no chance you can, not a chance you can hold back on the field.
Enka, I know you said earlier that you want to see through the season, get through the season and not suffer an injury. But from a Lions perspective, what goals have you set for yourself? I know you came tantalizingly close to a playoff spot last year in the URC or last season. What's the big carrot that you're chasing this year? Is it just URC? Because obviously there's Challenge Cup as well. What are you chasing hardest?
We have a big group now, and I think our group is very talented. I think this is our coaches mentioned it is one of the best groups we had in quite a few years. So I think we push win trophies. We're not contenders anymore. And I think in the past 2 years we lost. If we had one game, we would, because I think we finished ninth last year. If we had one home game, I mean, we could have made playoffs. So, I think it's the ability to close out games we lost in the past this year, because we are more experienced. We've been together for quite a while now. And, there's no more excuse now. I think we're a good group and we want to chase trophies.
Okay, just away from the field, I always ask this question to guys when we do the interviews. But I mean, everyone knows you as Henko, the rugby player with a scrum cap. So what don't people know about you? There's obviously more to you as a person. There's probably a couple of things that people would be surprised if they knew about you. So sell yourself a bit.
I come from Rustenburg. We live on a farm there. So I have a big interest in farming and the farm life. I love hunting, fishing, spending time with family and friends. That's where I recharge and get my energy from. And my support base is brilliant. That's me.
In a previous interview with you for the newspaper I work with, I think it's 2 years ago, you told me about the influence of your family and how that is your rock thing is grounded. I think that's still the same.
My family's always been there for me. Like I said, I've had a lot of long-term injuries. I think it started when I was 15. Long-term injuries as in operations and surgeries, and since day one they were there for me, supported me. So I'm very grateful for that.
Adjusted your free time, and how much rugby do you find yourself watching, like, in not involving the Lions? I mean, if there's whether it's Six Nations or whether it's the Super Rugby Pacific or whatever. How much rugby you find yourself watching? Decide, or do you just take a break whenever you can?
Yeah, when I tend to take a break from rugby when I'm off. I think some guys doesn't take breaks. They love watching rugby, and I also love watching rugby. But I would choose the games that I watch. I won't sit there for all Saturday and watch every single match. So yeah, I tend to like to take a bit of break from rugby when we get a time off.
If it makes you feel better, even journos do that on a Saturday. If you squeeze them from like half
past, speak for yourself
all the way through. So you have to be strategic that much.
Now, there's a lot of rugby at the moment. We all do. Yeah, that's very true. Edgar, what my last one from me is just thinking about your teammates. So if you have to go through them, obviously everyone knows them on the field again, but maybe just tell us a bit more about who's the biggest joker, who's the guy you wouldn't cross or pull a prank on, and some of the personalities within the team.
Ed was definitely the joker in the team. He makes a lot of jokes. As you can see on the field, he's his celebrations are top. He's like that even in training. Celebrates when he scores a try in training. I think that's where he gets his ideas from. Definitely he's the joker. But like I said, as a team, we quite close. So everyone understands each other. We pull pranks on each other. We like to make fun of each other, and everyone just have a laugh together. So that's our team culture is quite out and nice. It's a very nice environment to be in.
So there's nobody you wouldn't pull a prank on that you've been a bit scared to.
No, everyone gets pranked one time or another.
Like, well, in that sense, you must be grateful Willem Albert as Steph just...
He was normally the pranker.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it. And everything of the best for the rest of the season. And we really hope you get that wish of like just seeing out a proper season and doing the things that you love doing and bringing a lot of people pleasure. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, same from my side, Inca. And we hope to see that scrum cap in a green and gold jersey as well soon. We'll have to get you back on there as well onto the pod at that stage to just tell us how it feels. But yeah, enjoy your time on the farm. And we hope to see a lot more tries like the one against Munster.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me again, and enjoy the rest of your day.
I also hope that you don't sort of down tools completely, because there's still a lot of rugby. And of course, there is Champions Cup this weekend and the World 7 Series, which clicked into gear last week, will gain momentum this weekend. So where will your attention be focused?
A bit all over the place, unfortunately, and that's part of this calendar. I mean, we can go back to our old argument about the global calendar. When you've got Champions Cup, Challenge Cup, and Sevens all in Cape Town, there's so much going on. Unfortunately, it's going to be a weekend mostly in front of the TV. So whether it's lovely weather at the coast or not, there's so much rugby, we can't get away from it. And just on the Sevens, I mean, maybe I've just my little rant again. And for those who haven't noticed, World Rugby's changed the format. It's now Cape Town is now a 12-team tournament, four pools of three teams. Only the winners go through, which means there's only quarterfinals, which means the jeopardy is high. You lose one game and you basically your tournament's over. But for the fans as well, I feel I've been very vocal in that the World Rugby messed up the World Cup Sevens a year or two ago. In Cape Town, they're really sort of with the late schedules and playing the Springbok Sevens at 10 o'clock at night. It was a terrible tournament to cover, a terrible tournament to watch. And Cape Town has always been a successful tournament. And South Africans, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because in other parts of the world, the national team is not the main focus. In Hong Kong, there's no national team that really, so everybody's there for the party. In Dubai, pretty much the same. So in Cape Town Sevens, people go to the pubs between the games. They watch the big teams, and then they flood the stadium again and watch the Springbok Sevens. Now, this format, unfortunately, gives you only two chances because there's only two pool games. And then on Sunday, it's automatic semifinals or playoff games. So there's only two games again. So you're going to get to watch the Blitzbox a maximum of four times in the weekend. I know there's a lot of unhappiness amongst the organizers, amongst the teams. They only found out in Dubai. So once again, you got to say, well done, World Rugby. How to take a good product and mess it up. I hope it doesn't come out that way. Well. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't mind the jeopardy because playing one fewer pool game does, if there's a slip up, you're more than likely that you not make it. But from also fan perspective, I'm just thinking back now to that World Cup where people would leave the stadium because of the big breaks between the Blitzbox games. They would go to a restaurant or a bar in Greenpoint or somewhere close by. And in many cases, I mean, people would go to those bars or restaurants and not go back.
Yeah, no, it happened to a bunch of people I know. And you can't blame fans because part of the Euro Sevens is that there's games all the time that keep you sort of close by. And in the World Cup, I mean, I think this, if I remember right, the Springbok Sevens played at 9 o'clock in the morning and then 10 o'clock at night. And there was a 12-hour difference, and there was all these arbitrary games in between that few people watch. And I know World Rugby, and since they've added the women's series to the men's series, and this is not a dig against the women's series because there's some great rugby being played there, but for the average fan, they come to watch the men's series. And, there's these big breaks between where the big teams play. And, I must admit, World Rugby haven't covered themselves in glory yet. And I worry about the Cape Town Sevens because it was probably the most successful tournament in terms of fans and numbers and things like that. And the last couple of years, World Rugby has just done it no justice.
Thankfully, Brendan, in those long breaks, you can watch some Challenge Cup and some Champions Cup this weekend. Which for you is the standout game?
The South African games are the big ones we will watch. I mean, the Bulls versus Saracens game is going to be an exceptional one. Stormers to Toulon. There's some real good games. And the nice thing this year is we've got three teams in the Champions Cup. So, and the last year's Challenge Cup winners, the Sharks, have a very good chance this year. They've got a hell of a squad. And I think, I was talking with our friend Gavin Rich the other day about this. And I think when you look at the squads, these first couple of rounds are going to be pretty regulation for most of the bigger teams. But you've got to think, if you're going to go all the way in the Champions Cup, which we hope South African teams are looking at, then you've got to have a squad to beat Toulouse at home or La Rochelle or Leinster in Dublin. And of the three squads, I think the Sharks probably have got the closest to a squad doing that if all their Springboks are fit and fire.
Well, there's two elements to this. There is your squad depth, and I agree with you that the Sharks, in terms of personnel, probably are the best stocked. The Bulls, probably the team with the best cohesion, guys who have played together and who have turned their home ground into a fortress. The Stormers haven't really invested since the new investors came on board. And they've also had a horrendous run of injuries. So, and I think, to be fair, even before they had those injuries, there was an understanding in Cape Town that if you're not going to invest in the squad, bring fresh blood in, that in a competition like the Champions Cup, you are going to struggle. So I think they've kind of made peace with that. How they negotiate these games now is going to be very interesting because they need to play themselves back into form. I mean, it may not be your overall ambition to necessarily win the competition, but they need to strike form. And I think it's a very good test for them this weekend. Toulon, probably not the best travelers, but they haven't been that poor either this season. I think their last 10 away games, they've won four. So you can't write them off away from home. They are fourth in the top 14. So, They're going okay, so it's not a team that you can take lightly.
The only thing with the French teams, they're always going to have the caveat, the asterisk, is that you never know what team they're going to send down to South Africa. The French teams are notorious for sending B-sides now to away games. So if it's a good Toulon team, and they've got lots of depth in Toulon, they've got lots of money. So it could be a very good team with a lot of players we probably just don't know. But it's going to make a very interesting proposition.
Well, this may be the measure of that game and this, the personnel they send out. Will we see Kyle Sinclair back down against Ali Vermaak?
Well, I think Ali Vermaak's feeling quite confident after this last weekend against the Sharks, as should the Stormers. And you had the feeling in that game against the Sharks that almost if the game went another 5 minutes, the Stormers probably could have scored 2-3 more tries. And it just seemed like the Sharks were a bit out on their feet and were quite lucky in the end to win that game. Playing away from home, there'll definitely be some boisterous support in the Bay and in Gabertha. I don't know if I said that right, but the people start for rugby action, so hopefully they get a very good crowd, and hopefully it's a show that they can put on.
Yeah, I suppose it's time to pick some winners. I'm going to go for the Stormers.
Yeah, I think they got a lot of confidence out of the game against the Sharks. And I think, depending on what Toulon sends, I still think the home ground advantage should give them the victory. So I'd probably go with them with 10 points, to be very honest. I've got a funny feeling Toulon aren't going to send their best side.
Yeah, same year. Because, I mean, they've played themselves in a very handy position in the top 14. So they wouldn't want to lose ground there. So yeah, I think you're right.
Plus, this is you can almost write off the way the tournament works. You can almost write off losing an away game as long as you win your home games. And a lot of teams will back themselves to do that in the competition. Bulls have a very interesting one against Saracens. That Saracens will definitely feel their strongest team. There's a bunch of new Springboks in the Bulls that are itching to go. And yeah, there's also a bit of Johan Rupert, the one owner of the Bulls, used to be the owner of Saracens, and so there is a bit of other type interest there. I'm sure they will see it as quite a nice scalp to get if they can get an away win, but it's going to be tough for them.
That's a tough one to call. I'll say this: the Bulls on the road have become a proper handful. So if you asked me the same question last season, I might have leaned seriously to Saracens. But yeah, I think the Bulls will be a proper handful again. So difficult one to call. And you'd probably still have to go with the upset.
I think so. And I think it was one of those where everything favors Saracens. A lot of those Bulls players who are Springboks have been on the road for 3 weeks before the Springbok tour. Then 4 weeks on the tour, and now this is their second week of this tour, so they haven't been home for 7-8 weeks. I'm not sure how much that's going to play into it, but certainly they've got the pack to take them on. They've got the team, and they start games lately, especially overseas, extremely well. Their first half performances against overseas opposition has been very encouraging. So let's hope for a good start, and let's hope they can do something with it. So I'd also go for Saracens, but I'd hope the Bulls prove me wrong.
That brings us to the Sharks, who have had somewhat of a revival in the URC after a bit of a desperate start, but they look a much better team now. Do they transfer that form into the Champions Cup?
Well, I think the one thing with the Sharks is their owners, the consortium that owns them, and especially Marco Mazzotti, who's been on this podcast, are very keen for them to do well in the Champions Cup. That's the one they want them to target. I think they want them to win everything, but if you had to give them a choice, URC or Champions Cup, they're definitely going to say go for everything in the Champions Cup. So there'll be a big focus of winning these games. Exeter, who they're playing, not the Exeter who's won the competition a couple of years ago, but still a very decent side. The Sharks with that firepower, they'd have to probably analyze what went wrong for them in the scrums last week. Certainly a side that, when they get going and when they'll have probably even Itzeviv back, and with some of those Springbok players that have performed at national level, if they get going, that Shark pack should actually win the game for them.
Yeah, I think I'll have to favor the Sharks in that game as well, especially if they have a bigger Springbok contingent and a player like Eben it's a bit available for them. Where does that leave us then? We've pretty much covered everything, Brendan, I think, more or less. Yeah. Have we left anything?
No, we haven't left anything out as far as I know. It's a big rugby weekend and there's a lot to talk about. We'll have a lot to talk about next weekend. So, yeah, let's catch you guys then. And there's a year in. And if you're on holiday, enjoy it. We'll chat soon.
Have fun.
Thanks for listening. For the latest insights and rugby analysis each week, plus new episode alerts, please follow or subscribe to the series. Or find all episodes at jacarandafm.com or the Jackpot app.
That is world class!